We are happy to continue our weekly feature on the roundtable entitled Ideas Matter, checking in with the public humanities. It is our chance to check in with the humanities councils throughout our 7-state area to discuss important ideas and why they do indeed matter. This morning, we spotlight New York humanities and discuss Ann Northup, Slavery and the Birth of American Cuisine. 12 Years a Slave, which just won the Oscar for Best Picture, tells the story of Solomon Northup, who was kidnapped from upstate New York and sold into slavery. Told from his point of view, the movie doesn't tell what happened to his family while he was gone. This week, we'll learn about his wife, Anne, who worked as a cook at the Morris Jamel House in New York City. Our guests are Carol Ward, executive director of Morris Jamel House, and Emil Gruschow, archivist at the Morris Jamel House. Thank you very much. Is it Emily?
It's Emily. Yes,
yes. Thank you very much. And Carol, welcome.
Thank you so much.
Very nice to have you both here. So give us a sense of this Ann Northup story and how you have tried to interpret it pretty much all along, but especially as the interest has risen in light of the film.
Sure. I think, you know, what we always try to do at the Mansion is connect our programming with, you know, base level, the history of the inhabitants of the Mansion, and also, you know, who might have come and go in the Mansion throughout that history. So one of our major figures is Eliza Jamel, the longest resident of the house from 1810 to 1865. And Emily, you know, in her scouring of our archives, found this connection to Ann Northup, and really, once the kind of popularity of the movie kind of kicked in, we had sort of thought about doing a program before, and then it was this great synergy of organizing it for Black History Month this past February, and then, of course, now that the movie has won the Oscar, we're getting a lot of buzz about the connection. So Emily's going to talk a little bit about the history side of things.
So, Emily, what do we know? What do we need to know, do you think, about this story, about Anne and her time while her husband was being held captive as a slave?
Well, Ann Northup was a well-known Creole chef in 19th century New York. By the time she was 20, she was the daughter of a very well-respected Creole family in Sandy Hill, which is about 20 miles northeast of Saratoga Springs. And by the time she was 20, she had already made a name for herself as an accomplished and very creative chef in the resort area around Saratoga Springs. She married in 1829.
Hey, Emily?
Yes.
Are you on a cell
phone?
Emily, we can't hear you. Are you on
I am sorry.
Are you on a cell phone or?
No, I am on the same line as Carol.
Oh, really? So, okay, yeah, you're just breaking in and out. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so Ann Northup was already a well-known chef in the Saratoga Springs area by the time she was 20. And her and Solomon Northup married in 1829 on Christmas Day. They were both 21. And what we see in this couple is not only already sort of a very energetic young couple, but a very creative and almost ingenious partnership. Of course, Solomon was very well known for his music, but Anne, in her own right, was also famous as a chef already and known for her creativity. And she was working at the Pavilion Hotel in Saratoga Springs in 1841, the spring that Solomon was kidnapped, and was working actually as a kitchen manager at several hotels in the area, and was made an acquaintance with Eliza Jamel during Eliza Jamel's summer trip to Saratoga Springs. She made the trip every summer. And came to an agreement with Eliza that she and her children would work for Eliza at her New York mansion in exchange for proximity to New York City, where Anne was much more likely to sort of get connected to the Atlantic trade network that would have enabled her to get word of Solomon and his whereabouts much more quickly than had she been in Saratoga Springs.
Give us a sense of how you go about determining exactly what it is that she was making, how the type of cuisine that was expected of her, and ultimately the recipes and the food that Anne prepared.
Well, that was a multifaceted research project. It was actually Tanya Hopkins and Heather Jones, who were the primary food historians who worked on this project in the recreation of the dinner. They did some of their own original research at the United States Hotel in Saratoga Springs and the Pavilion Hotel in Saratoga Springs, as well as Cheryl's Coffee Shop in Sandy Hill, where Anne had also worked. They looked through the records to see what had been served around Anne's time there, but they also drew on, this is what I found most interesting, they drew on an extant network of food historians that still exist throughout the Northeast United States and sort of have preserved the foodways, the techniques, the methods of 19th century preparation of Creole meals. And so they had this resource in the written records of what Anne had been making, but they also had this oral history and this very hands-on traditional inheritance through personal acquaintances that allowed them to recreate it in very specific detail.
How does 19th century food taste in the 21st century?
The meal was very good first, but it's actually surprising because a lot of the ingredients, the components that went into the meal are things that are very familiar to us today as being distinctly American food. The appetizer was pepper pot soup and cornmeal bread. There was a dandelion green salad. There was a Madeira ham. And there was a spice cookie that had elements of rose water and cinnamon in it. And we think of these as being sort of not unusual foods today. But if you go through that menu, each of those components comes from a Native American origin or a West Indian African origin or a European origin, and they all came together in this Creole cookery of the 19th century, and this is really what Anne was working from. She had her own family origins in Native American culture and African culture and European culture, and she really drew on that in helping to create this Northern American cuisine.
Carol, give us an idea of what people experience at the museum and the story that you're trying to tell.
Sure. So we're actually Manhattan's oldest house, and we have been on the same spot since 1765 when the house was constructed. So when one person would come to visit the mansion, they see different period rooms. 9 period rooms are open for them to look at, interpreting the era of 1765 to 1865, which are 3 major time periods and kind of families as it relates to the house. The first would be the Morris family from 1765 to 1775. Roger Morris was a wealthy British colonel who married Mary Phillips Morris, a wealthy Dutch merchant. If anyone has ever heard of Phillipsburg Manor, which is in Westchester and Tarrytown, that's her family estate.
Okay.
So we interpret their time period. Then, of course, you know, when people say George Washington slept here, we can actually say that, as many other sites can.
A lot of sites.
He was here for a month during the Battle of Harlem Heights in the fall of 1776. And then the major era is the 19th century, the Jamel era. One of the Jamel family lives here from about 1810 till about 1895. And the big kind of colorful character is Eliza Jamel. She lives here for 55 years. She passes away in the house, so that's where we get the rumors that we're haunted. And really the interesting thing that we try to do is, being in Upper Manhattan, we're in the Washington Heights section of Manhattan, you know, we're a little off the beaten track. So we're off Museum Mile. We're not by the Met or the Guggenheim. So we want to make sure that people come to the mansion not only for the history, which we always base everything in, like the Ann Northrup dinner, but also we're in such a diverse and dynamic artistic community of Washington Heights, Harlem, and Inwood, that we have started doing contemporary art exhibits inside the period rooms. We have a wide range of public programming, from scholarly lectures to book signings, all the way up to performances in both English and Spanish to tie into the community.
Not to dwell on the film, but I am curious, has it changed things at the museum? I mean, has there been a change since it came out and the story has become better known?
I would say that it is certainly offered a lot of promise to our education. We haven't been able to draw on the connection yet to connect with our visitors, but especially with new technologies and research, we're really getting an idea of the lives of people like Ann Northrup as individuals where we couldn't really before. And so as that progresses and as we are able to do more research on her as an individual, we're going to be tying her increasingly into the mansion's narrative, because her and her family were here for 3 years. And a great part of the progress that was made towards Solomon's freedom was accomplished through Anne's connections in New York City.
Carol Ward is executive director of the Morris Jamel House, and Emily Grushow is archivist at the Morris Jamel House in New York City. You can find out more information about the Ideas Matter Humanities program with WAMC, as well as more information on the Morris Jamel House, by going to our website. It's wamc.org/roundtable, wamc.org/roundtable, and find out more information. Emily and Carol, thank you so much for joining this morning. Have a wonderful weekend, and thank you for sharing with us.
Thank you so much for having us.
A delight. Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.